It's huge! And it's the news, according to me. And it is brought to you by a pre-recorded message this morning. I'm recording this on Sunday evening, listening to the president speak at the moment. And, sipping on some tea. This is Sunday evening. It is actually about 6 o'clock, 6:06 actually, in the evening, and in the p.m. Eastern time. And you might be able to hear the speech in the background. But I am recording this for Monday morning, and I may or may not be able to actually do a show on Monday morning. If I do, you will never hear this because I will not play it. I'll probably play it. I'll probably record a special show in the morning as early if I can get up early enough. Very busy day ahead of me. This week's going to be very busy. I'm actually going to be out on the road and I'm going to be flying around, but I'll be driving some. I'll drive to the airport. But I have a lot going on. So it's going to be, I'm going to try to keep my ear to the ground on the news as much as I possibly can. I've got some other things I've got going on that are kind of intense. But hopefully I'll have time to do some recording. Sound quality will not be all that great. I will not be in the studio, so the sound quality will be different. And may not have any intro music. I'm not sure I'm going to do that yet. I got to figure that out the way I... with my laptop. Yeah, I'll be limited in my abilities, my technical skills, technical abilities. But I should be able to provide you with some kind of a show every day, I think. Tuesday is going to be a challenge. Because it won't be that bad. Tuesday won't be that bad. Tuesday morning actually will be the worst. Because I start really early in the morning. I get done around noon. But I hopefully will have a couple of broadcasts in next week. Or this coming week. Now, I may have to call Rabbi Rick on the phone. And, well, I'm not sure how that's going to work either. It's possible. We might be able to do that. And try to record something with him. As I'm not actually taking my full kit that I am able to do that with, so it'll be real interesting. So that's the rundown on the news according to me this week, those of you who need to know, because you're in the know. And I want to say, I really greatly appreciate people listening, sharing this this podcast, and those of you who have subscribed. Obviously, there's a growing number of people subscribing to this podcast, in spite of the fact that news cycle has slowed down quite a bit. I mean, around the election stuff, everything was peaking up quite a bit, and it peaked up a lot during that time, as all broadcasters who were in the political scheme of things did. And right now, it dropped off after that. However, the peak numbers are continuing to improve and continuing to grow, which is just it's a very positive, good thing. It's very helpful, very encouraging, I should say. Again, like I said, I really appreciate that. It's very encouraging to see that happen. So, well, in the news, let's kind of review some things. Now today, President Trump is speaking at CPAC, the conservative something, I don't know what it is. He's speaking there. So a lot of people speak at that thing. This has probably been one of the best ones. In terms of some of the speakers I have heard, have been excellent. I heard Kristi Noem. I heard her full speech. It went on. That was quite a long speech, and it was excellent. One of the things she said, I think that needed to be said, I have never said it, I don't think, but it really needed to be said, was that COVID didn't destroy our economy. The government did. I think it was very clear. It was very telling. It was a good thing to say. I think just to have that kind of thing. And if you're at all familiar about what's going on in South Dakota, she's the governor of South Dakota. They'd never shut anything down. They didn't have mandatory shutdowns. They didn't have. They didn't tell schools or businesses or churches to close. They did strongly encourage, preventative measures, social distancing. They tried to protect the people that mattered, who were the most vulnerable, the elderly and that kind of thing. They didn't stick sick people in nursing homes. And here's everybody thinks, oh, well, Dakota, you know, there's nobody lives there. It's all spread out. It's all relief. But and here's the issue I had with this whole thing from the very beginning. We were shutting down parts of the country that had not even been touched with this thing yet. And the way viral, if you have to look at the traveling trends and the, you know, the main thoroughfares and areas where people move to understand how this thing, how viruses spread. And now Anthony Fauci, he knew all, Fauci, I want to get into this right now because it's important that we do. And I think I need to talk about Fauci. Okay, Fauci initially came out. Now think about this. Anthony Fauci initially came out and said, "No, masks aren't going to be. You don't need to wear masks. It'd give you a false sense of security, and it might help stop a droplet, but it's not going to help." Then, of course, he reversed that. So he lied to us, supposedly. He supposedly lied to us because. But he did it for a good reason. And this is this whole end. This is the epitome of the end justifies the means kind of thing. He came out and said that. So nobody. Now, he claims he did it so that nobody would panic and go out and buy a whole bunch of PPP, personal protection stuff, Psaki. And so he claims that that's why he did it. That's why he lied to us. Why the heck didn't he just come out and say masks are somewhat effective, but we're going to recommend that you do not wear them right now. Social distance, wash your hands, do everything you can to try to stave off any kind of contact with other people. If you feel like you need to wear a mask, wear a mask, but just, you know, we're going to try. Why didn't he just come out and say, we're going to try to save the PPP, PPE, whatever it is, personal protection equipment. I don't know what it is. I don't we're going to save the stuff. I think I'm thinking PPP because of the PPP legislation thing. PPE. I think it's PPE. I don't know. Or is it EPP? Or is it PEP? Is it Peppy Peppy? We're going to save the personal protection stuff because of the first responders needed. We need people on the front lines to be able to have access to it. So why didn't he just say that? Just come out and tell us the freaking truth instead of lying to us. Because if he was lying to us, because now all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, you got to wear a mask and you got to wear two. Two is better. Well, it just makes common sense, you know, that wearing another layer is going to protect you. Well, common sense is not science, Fauci. What you think is common sense and what someone else thinks is common, because guess what the science actually says now? The more you restrict the air through those masks, the more air that sneaks out through the edges, through the air, it just comes right out of there. There's no stopping it at all. And it's questionable whether or not that air that's coming out through the front of the mask, once your mask gets saturated with your breath, if you're not just vaporizing more. And it's vaporized air that is the worst cloud in the world for carrying a virus. At least, that's what I think. That's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist. I'm just a guy with a microphone talking about vaporization. So that's my opinion. And I will continue to stay with it. And if you have a problem with it, that's fine. You can have a difference of opinion. That's fine. You can wear a mask. You can do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I just don't like the fact that you make me wear a mask. Because of nothing. Just because you want to. Now, if a restaurant, if a business is they put the sign up. They say they want us to wear a mask until we sit down at the restaurant. That's fine. I'll do that. I can choose to not go to that restaurant. I can make those choices. And I do. I go to restaurants. I wear the mask and I take it off. You wear it for 2 minutes while you're walking in. Sit down, and all of a sudden, since you are sipping on a sweet tea, all of a sudden, COVID goes away. So I guess that's the way that works. And we do a lot of things that are actually biological, bacterial science, not necessarily virology. So, or epidemiology, or cardiocapillology, or snuffleupagitrosy. So I don't know. I just don't know. I still think there's a lot of things. And I know Fossey has come out again, and he just keeps making statements. And it's like, how do we believe this guy anymore? He has made more than, and that's just one example. I mean, he has probably said at least four or five things that have been pretty major Decepticons in his little speeches now. And from as far as I'm concerned, he's lost all credibility. I don't know how anybody even, but he loves being on the camera and he loves telling us what we're supposed to do. Because now he's saying that we're probably going to be wearing masks up until 2022 and through the next year. And we just got to keep wearing the masks because now we have these variants that are out there. We don't know what that's all about. And of course, as usual, this whole thing has dropped off like crazy. Even though they're still saying we have like 500,000 deaths now, which is 100,000 deaths in the first month of Biden's presidency. Because he was claiming we had 400,000 the night before on the 19th. And then all of a sudden, we got 500,000 now. He came out and marked the 500,000 deaths. And the tally will never stop going up because if you count up how many people have died from the flu in the last 20 years, it's way up there. But we don't do that. We just use the tally every season. We don't use the continuous tally of the entire, life of the flu kind of thing, which is what they're doing with COVID right now. They'll reduce it to the, now as soon as this season is over, or as soon as the numbers drop off now, they're going, see what we did? We cured it. We And he's also talked about curing cancer. Now, speaking of old Uncle Joe, moving kind of slow at the junction. Yeah, he's moving slower, folks. I don't know if you've noticed or have you heard him recently that he did a speech I know it wasn't today or yesterday. It was because I heard it yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was Thursday or Friday. And I can't remember who he was speaking to. I think it was down in Tech. Might have been the thing down in Texas. And he was getting lost, folks. It was getting bad. And this is like the second or third time in last week that he has done this, where he kind of starts getting lost. He starts saying people's names wrong. And he loses track of where he's at. Sheila Jackson Lee, he called her Shirley. Then there was some other lady he named off that he added something to her name. And he's like, what am I doing here? And then he had this other deal where he got done with a speech and he starts walking off talking to people. And then Carmella has to remind him to go back to the podium and get his mask. Oh, my mask. I need my mask. Go back and get my mask. Oh, yeah. Put that on. Make a big deal out of that. I better put that on there. Yeah. And he's just walking around like stammering around. He gets off script and he is completely lost. He wanders off into nowhere land. And that's going to, it's getting more and more obvious. Even people on the left now are really concerned. And they're saying, what is this guy doing? And of course, that since we dropped bombs or sent missiles or whatever it was we did, just doing some stuff in, I guess, Syria. Now, supposedly tomorrow, the Biden administration is supposed to make some kind of a statement on Saudi Arabia. He can't make it until then. He can't answer any questions. He can't. He has people that'll shout out, you know, questions to him from the podium. He'll just walk away. They get no answers from nothing, anything. Then you got this issue with the that they're building more facilities now for kids, and there are bars on the windows. They're putting up these little temporary, like little office type things with bars on the windows. Yeah. Tell me that's not a cage. Tell me that's not like a prison cell. They're coming across illegally. And however, by the way, children are being separated from their parents, if you want to call them that. Because that's the big problem they had before, was that the coyotes were bringing people over who would bring somebody's kid. And in many cases, believe it or not, you know, this is how, you know, everybody says this is such a terrible country. It's so racist and it's so terrible here. There are people there in Mexico and in other countries south of the border who are handing their kids over to someone and saying, here, take my child and you'll be able to get across, and they have to give you a court date. They'll have to release you with that because they can only separate you for so long, according to they know the rules. And they'll have to, you know, reunite you with this child. Tell them it's your child, and you'll have to reunite you with that child. And then you can just stay in the country and not worry about getting, you know, until you get caught. And they won't, of course, they're not going to catch you, because if they do catch you, they don't, the Biden administration's not going to do anything. Even though it's been kind of a bit of a problem right now, because he's not winning those court cases. So here's what happens. So these people, they find out, they do a DNA test, and they find out that these parents are not parents at all. These are children that have no relation to these people. And when they do finally track down the parents, if they can find them, the parents don't want them back. Now, you might think that's cruel. Oh, I can't believe people would just throw away their kids. They're not throwing away their kids. I would venture to say that 90% of them, if not more, realize that their opportunities for those children here as orphans are better than what they were going through back home. If you're in a position where you cannot provide for your family and you see no way out, these kids are struggling and suffering, and you're working your fingers to the bone, the government's not helping, you're in a bad situation, you can't even find anything to eat, and your kid makes it to the United States. No, you're not coming back here. You're not coming back to this poop hole. You're going to stay there. You're better off. As heartbroken as they are making that sacrifice for that child. With probably the hopes that someday they'll be reunited, or somehow they're going to find a way to get to the United States with them. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe they're just want them to send money back to where they're at. Grow up there, get a job, and start sending money back so we can afford to pay for bread here. That's part of it, too. That happens. That does happen, by the way. Mexico, in fact, there's a little known statistic. Mexico, they're number one, or the highest percentage of their GDP is from oil. They have a lot of oil there. I'm not exactly sure how they contract with companies to take. I think the government actually has taken control of the oil there, and the so the country actually owns the rights oil rights in most cases, or the bulk of it anyway, the majority of it. And then they contract it out to companies like Exxon and whatever, you know, like the big companies that come in and drill it and take it out. So they're selling it to them. So the big companies might be coming in there to do that, but the nation itself, the nation of Mexico, is actually, that's the way it was going on in Nigeria. Nigeria has a vast amount of oil as well. And there's a lot of oil exploration, not as much as Mexico, I don't think, but they do have oil fields there. And they were, the government itself had kind of taken over those oil fields, and they were doing some interesting things there with. Now, there's another country there. I think it was Sierra Leone. I can't remember. It was either, I don't think it was Nigeria. And I, because this would have happened after I was there. And I'm pretty sure it was Sierra Leone. I think it was one of Nigeria's neighbors. And there is this vast area. It's kind of like this bog, delta kind of place close to the ocean. Where there are, you know, fishing is one of the biggest industries there along the coast. So there's a huge amount of fishing that goes on to feed people. And the fishing industry has been dropping off in this area because the pollution coming from these rivers was so bad. Well, the problem with the reason there's so much pollution is because there are you might say it's like a black market oil cookers kind of thing. They go out and get oil, and they process it, and they try to refine it in these like little shady kind of shanty. You know, they cook it and do all the stuff they got to do to get it to refined, and then when they get caught, they just run off or they burn it. They just light the place on fire and take off. And it's a big deal because the diesel fuel. You know, the government's trying to control the diesel fuel, and of course, get these black market guys out there doing this kind of stuff, trying to make it happen. So it becomes a and here's the stupid thing about it: if the government was smart, they would just come in and say, "Hey, you guys you're showing some ambition here. You're trying to make some money. How about you say let's help you with this." We will provide you the permits, we'll get you guys through the system here and let you guys make the money, do the work. And of course it's a hellhole where these people are working. They're in this cruddy environment trying to do this oil refining stuff in the worst of conditions. I mean, they're not going to live long. Breathing in this toxic stuff all the time. They're working in it, stepping in it, you know, just covered in oil and sludge. And of course, when they get done with the sludge material, they don't bother disposing of it properly at all. They just throw it in the river. So it's a mess. And I don't know how bad it has got, or how whether they've got it under control yet or not. I don't think they do. There's constantly. You know, the bootleggers are out there. So, yeah. So there's that stuff going on. And anyway, I don't know how I got there from here. I got from here to there. And I don't exactly know how that all happened. But I will say that, there's a lot of things going on with the whole Biden thing, what we're doing with the military right now. The military-industrial complex is up and running again. They got things running really well because of they're basically in charge. I mean, it is the weirdest thing to see right now with the Biden administration, and I keep kind of poking fun at this whole thing, saying, yeah, oh yeah, it's Joe Biden is large and in charge. He's definitely, you know, taking control of the executive branch of government. He's got a grip on this thing. He knows what's going on. He's leading the nation. This guy can't lead a fly out of a window. This is a mess. It is a train wreck, folks, that we're witnessing. Now, everybody keeps talking about, yeah, they're setting up Kamala to run in 2024. No. Well, yes, but no. Kamala's not going to wait till 2024. It's not going to be an issue of if. It is just an issue of when. I will be shocked if it goes 100 days. I'm kind of thinking that they probably think they're going to go the first 100 days, let Biden give his little speech. First 100 days of Biden administration, now I'm turning it over to Kamala, if they can get him, you know, going that long, keep him going that long. Because, folks, right now, it's only been like, what, 37 days, 38 days? Has it even been that long? 38 days, I think. And if you've watched the speech, I've been trying to listen to it a little bit because I've had some work to do, but trying to pay attention to what Trump's been saying here at the CPAC speech. But you know, it's actually I have to say it's kind of refreshing. I don't think the guy is that great of a communicator. He's good at doing speeches and stuff. He's very good with the crowd. But I don't think he's that great of a communicator with regard to policy and ideologues type. He's not an ideologue. And that, I guess that's on the basis of principle. I'm not sure he can. I think he understands capitalism and capital markets and free markets and what's going on with the nation. But I don't think he was raised with a real constitutional libertarian kind of. And I mean that in the sense of libertarianism, in the sense of personal liberties and freedoms, whether you're Republican or Democrat and you believe in liberty, not necessarily the political party libertarian, because I don't align myself with them at all. But I don't think he's been steeped in that, or I don't think he has that kind of a foundational kind of motivation. So I don't think he, you know, if you could get a guy or gal who had that kind of understanding, like a Ron Paul understanding of liberty and constitutionalism, and you had on top of that, you had the gutsy kind of business sense person, kind of wrap that up into one person. Now there's talks of there's talk about Pompeo. I guess he could potentially be Trump's VP if there is one, if that happens again. But this comes back to, and I'd appreciate some feedback on this. If anybody's listening to this, if anybody out there at all is listening to this, if you've made it this far, see, I just filled up the first part of this show with a bunch of crazy talk. In fact, I did my first 105 episodes basically. Just with a bunch of crazy talk. That way I could kind of weed out all the people who weren't listening. So now if you're listening, here's what it's all about. Now this is something I've really been thought. I think I kicked this around last week and I'm really starting to think seriously about this. When this stuff happens, I really seriously consider running for office. I mean, because I want to encourage people to do that. And I feel like maybe I need to step up and run for office. But you know what? I don't think that's what I'm going to do. However, I really feel like I like this idea of starting off an organization and, you know, just call it the Term Limits Now or whatever it's going to be. And it's an organization, you know, just start an organization that basically goes around to and looks at all the people in Congress, and since all of them talk a lot about having term limits, but they never do it. And they could, you know, if they at least did something, it would stave off the possibility of putting together this kind of an organization like I'm about to tell you about. But I think if there was a PAC organization that simply went around and supported the primarying of people who've been in as a congressman for more than X amount of terms. So say they've served, three terms in the House. They've been there 6 years. Time to go. Yeah, maybe they're good. Maybe they're a good candidate. But guess what? It's time to go. It's time to go. And that's the sad part of it is, you know, we want to talk about term limits all the time, but we only want to talk about term limits for the people we don't like. But that doesn't help us at all. We need to take this seriously. And, you know, have some kind of a term limit where, okay, now you've been in 6 years, you got to get out for at least one term or maybe two, and you can come back and run again. So it's consecutive terms. Or, you know, or if they write the rules, they can do whatever they want with that. They can say, yeah, you have to run three times, or you can be in office three times. And then you gotta get out for one term and come back and do another three terms. I mean, even six terms would be something. You've got guys in there like, you know, Biden was in for, what is he served for, I guess if you're counting his time as a VP, I guess that was 47 years. But he was in the Senate for like 39 at least. And, or however long that was. I don't know what it was. That's too long, folks. That's just too long. Look at Nancy Pelosi. She's been there so long, she's been the speaker twice. Under two different presidents. Actually, three now. Three different presidents. Well, no, wait. One, two. Yeah, three different presidents. That's ridiculous. And Boehner, of course, he was in there forever. Finally got him out. You see, these people get control of too much of the PAC money, of too much of the capital funding, the raising of funds. Now, of course, Mitch McConnell, I haven't heard much about him in the last couple of days. Other than the last thing I heard about him was, I'm going to support the nominee, whoever it is, even if it's Trump. So all of a sudden, McConnell's on board with Trump again. However, I don't trust McConnell. And I would say he probably is not believing that somehow, he knows something that is going to basically probably, he's hoping that Trump is disabled. So he's just saying this as a, oh no, I'll support Trump if he's the nominee. He's never going to be the nominee. So I don't have to worry about it. I can come out and say this. I can come out and talk like I'm, you know, yeah, like I'm on, oh yeah, sure, I'm on board with Trump. Mm-hmm, wink, wink. Mm-hmm, yeah, sure. Oh yeah, sure. I'll, because he might know what's going on behind the scenes with Mr. Schumer. We're coming for you, Schumer. Yeah. So that's... that's my opinion. So I don't know what happened. But I'll try to listen to this whole speech and possibly give another... my take on it tomorrow. Now, tomorrow evening, I should be able, it may be a little bit late for the show, the big shoe, but I should be able to have a show tomorrow evening. It just may not be quite as dynamic. I've been trying to kind of cut back on all the little, you know, well, the stuff like...
good morning, Sunday morning.
Stuff on my little cutesy little stuff. That's all well and good when Rabbi Rick is here, because the show takes on a whole different atmosphere with Rabbi Rick here, because we can cover a lot of ground and talk about a lot of serious things, but we can also we just have a lot of fun with it, a lot more fun with it than when I'm just here by myself. Believe me, there's a lot of fun going on in my head, but you can't see that. So take my word for it. A lot of fun things going on there. But in the meantime, we will we will keep plugging ahead here in the week ahead. See what happens. And if, like I said, if anything major happens, this is going to be posted on Monday morning. However, if anything big happens, I will read. Maybe I'll leave this one up, and I'll do an extra show tomorrow morning or something like that. We'll see how that goes. But I'm gonna plan on having this one posted tomorrow morning. So, once again, if you can call or write or what you know, call. You can text me. 574 is the number. 574-742-6748. And you can just text in or call in and let me know what you think. And I'll answer your question or something. I don't know. I'll do something. So, with that being said, I don't know if I don't know what's going on there. What's going on there? Why is that doing that? I don't know what that, there we go. In fact, we'll just end the show with this. There's more.
Of course. 742. Well, how do you do? 6748. Text that number. It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be late. Text that number. Text that number.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. 7474267 4 8.
That's right. That's the number. They're still clicking. That's the number you want to hear. That's the number you want to call, text, whatever it's going to be. But yeah, in the meantime, as this is February 28th, the last day of the month so far, we're through 2 months now of this year, starting the third month. Going to be an interesting March is going to be an interesting month for me. April may be even more interesting, but some different changes in life happening. So at the moment, I need to get home and cook some stuff on the grill because it's like 50 degrees outside, and I've decided it's spring. So that's what's going to happen with me. Not sure what's going to happen with you. If you're in the area, you know, feel free to stop on by. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of meat on the grill. Unless the dogs get a hold of it. Or the cat starts to chew on it. Because now we have a kitten. Who's very quickly becoming a cat. Getting rather large. God bless everybody. Have a great week. And be careful out there.